Carell. So very glad you are joining me. And Fox News are just filled with hypocrites. Bill O'Reilly should not be fired. Let me reiterate, Bill O'Reilly should not be fired. You're all gasping for air right now, aren't you? You're all choking on your lunches. Admit it. Because Carell, the big liberal gay talk show host, has just said Bill O'Reilly should not be fired. Bill O'Reilly should not be fired. And I alone can tell you why. Okay? I alone am here to put that in perspective. In fact, I will go as far to say as the advertisers that threatened to pull out of O'Reilly's broadcast, the 30-plus advertisers, which everyone is seeing as a win for consumerism and a win for social consciousness through corporations. Oh, no, honey. No. Let me tell you why those 30 companies should be boycotted. Still. In fact, more so than other Fox News advertisers. The 30 that threatened to pull out of O'Reilly, they should be actually boycotted more than those who said they were going to stay. And now, are you all confused? You can go to my website, reallycarell.com, and you can talk to me. I'm there. I'm logging into the chat room right now. I have not lost my mind, but I feel beyond the shadow of a doubt that Bill O'Reilly should not have been fired today, that the advertisers who threatened to pull out of his show should actually be boycotted, okay? And that, quite frankly, this is the worst case of hypocriticism that I have ever seen this day or this week, because you know how things change. Now, let me put it in perspective for you, Lori and Cherokee and Carter and all you other guests, 20 of you over at the chat room at reallycarell.com. Let me put this in perspective for you over at facebook.com/reallycarell. First of all, do I feel that Bill O'Reilly is a good talk show host? No, I do not. Do I feel that Bill O'Reilly was bad for America? Yes, I most certainly do. Do I think that Bill O'Reilly made a lot of money lying, knowing he was lying and being disingenuous? Absolutely. Did I think that Bill O'Reilly belonged on anything calling itself a news network? No, I did not, and do not. However, that being said, all of that being said, do I think Bill O'Reilly should be fired by Fox because they've had to pay out $13 million for sexual harassment? No, not at all. Not at all. First of all, of course he's an abuser. You've known about that for decades. Roger Ailes, his former boss, abuser. Our president, abuser. So please stop acting all outraged about sexual predators and abusers. America is fine with them. They put one in the Oval Office, and it has not been made a big deal of ever since. It has not been out there every day in the news. Donald Trump, sexual predator. That is what he is. Bill O'Reilly is, Roger Ailes, and many men in corporate America are. So the notion that you would fire someone for something you already have known about them for decades, the policy at Fox News was well known. And by the way, any woman that worked at Fox News, you were just doing it for a paycheck, meaning a suit, because you heard about Bill O'Reilly. You heard about the glass tabletops. You heard about all of this. You knew this man had been sued by his wife. He doesn't even have custody of his children. Okay, this is no shock that this man is a sexual predator. This is not news. It has been out there for a long time, and now you feign indignation because 30 of your advertisers, what? What got into them? Fox News elected the enemy of the people to the United States presidency. Fox News did that. Fox News is the propaganda wing of the Nazi government, as far as I am concerned, and as far as you should be concerned. They have become the propaganda wing of the Republican Party. They spread party politics. They do not spread news at all. Okay? They don't. And so you're going to be outraged that this network of propaganda that runs by white rich men, that women behind the scenes, suddenly you're outraged advertisers at this? Suddenly you're going to boycott his show because of this? What? When he was saying that women didn't deserve birth control or that women can't legislate over their own bodies, when he was saying all that, that was fine with you, advertisers? That was good for you? Oh, hell no. You don't get to have a line, a moral line in the sand with Bill O'Reilly if you support him or if you employ him. You don't suddenly get to grow a pair and have a moral compass or a moral line in the sand. You have no morals. You have no morality at all. If you employ anyone at Fox News, you have no morality. You have no line in the sand. And how dare any advertiser that advertises with Fox News acts like it has some kind of morality. You do not. If you pay Fox News any money, you are by nature immoral because you are supporting the propaganda wing of the Republican Party, which put a despot in power. You know what? If you're a snowflake, don't listen to today. Okay? If you're a snowflake, tune out. Matt Seiden, my friend in Georgia, who said maybe you should change your stick a little. The angry gay guy is getting old. You know what? You ain't begun to seem angry yet. And why aren't you more angry? Why can't we just bottom line stuff in this country and talk about what it really is and what's really happening? What's really happening here is, in the spirit of snowflakeness, of political correctness, Fox News, which is an immoral organization, it is an organization of white, rich men that abuses its position in media to profit and to take power from the American people. It, according to Ted Koppel and me, will tell you that it is not good for America. Fox News is a bad thing for the United States. And if you support it, if you are an advertiser that supports it in any way, then you are supporting an enemy of the people. Period, end of story. That's just that. So you don't get moral high ground if you're already an advertiser on O'Reilly. You don't get to pull your ad because behind the scenes, he's doing what he does in front of the camera. Bully women, objectify women, tell them what they're going to do, take away their humanhood, their personhood, take away their right to speak. He's doing in front of the camera what he does behind. How dare you try to pull your ads? You are all a bunch of filthy hypocrites. And do not see this as a victory. Bill O'Reilly being removed. This is not a victory. He was not removed because he said that women shouldn't be able to have birth control when they're, you know, under insurance. He wasn't removed because he basically helped President Trump get into office. He wasn't removed for any lie that he has spread, any untruth that he has told. He wasn't removed because he's a downright despicable person. He was removed because 30 advertisers said that we ain't going to advertise anymore. And Fox said, oh, we might lose some money with him. So he's now a liability. Get rid of him. That's why he was removed. He met with the Pope today. I hope he said a prayer for his job. What a travesty that is, meets with the Pope. The man's a despot. He helped Trump get elected. I'm sorry. I don't see a rift in political parties here or anything. Nowadays, either you're a freaking effing moron or you're not. If you think Trump is okay, you're an effing moron. If you think the Republicans are a party that's anyway good and that they should be tolerated in any way, you're an effing moron. If you think that any of these people need any more airtime, you're an effing moron. You're just an idiot. I mean, you're beyond idiot if you think that Fox News needs to be heard, if you think that Trump has any good to add to America, if you think Republicans aren't an enemy of the people. They are an enemy of the people. They've proven to be an enemy of the people. They want to take away your retirement. They want to take away your health care. They want to raise your taxes, all to give their billionaire friends. That's an enemy of the people, honey. Like I said, snowflakes need not apply today because I woke up fed up with it. Bill O'Reilly has been fired. Big freaking deal. That network should be put off the air. Yes, censored, put off the air, just like Facebook. You know, this morning I woke up about the Facebook thing and said, you know, we now live in a country where you can stream murder live on Facebook and they apologize for it afterwards. You know, back in radio, we are protected in our studios at KFI, KGO, the KABC, any studio. When you're watching the network news, they are protected in their studio. There is security. There are doors. Why? Because you never want to make it easy for anyone to come in and overtake your studio and spread their agenda. That you know, hosts are always told that you cannot let someone take over your microphone. Die first, basically. Board ops have buttons and switches to make sure people don't take over the network. Why? Why is there security? Why is there doors to make sure that people don't broadcast? Why do we have an FCC? Why are networks, television networks and cable networks licensed with the government? Why? Why is any of that happening if any idiot can go live on Facebook anytime they want to? Why do they have, you know what? I would not mind Facebook saying for me to do my everyday show here on Facebook that I have to register and or maybe even pay a fee. It is their service to be on Facebook, but that I at least have to register as a broadcaster, as someone with a daily show. I have to go through some sort of qualification process with Facebook in order to broadcast daily. I wouldn't to go live. I would not have a problem with Facebook or any place saying, before we let you go live on our platform, you've got to be registered. We got to see that you have a reason to go live. Because you listening to my voice right now, you, if you are not an entertainer or a media provider, a content provider, you have no reason to go live on Facebook. Well, with all of my relatives, there's Skype, there's FaceTime. You have no reason to broadcast live on Facebook. There's no reason for you to broadcast live on Facebook. The world doesn't need to see what you're seeing at that moment. You can record the video and post it. You don't need to go live. There is no need for you to, and there's no need for Facebook to be a live TV station for the world. There just isn't. Because now we're streaming murders and beatings. And abuses of all kinds, animal abuses. We are streaming all kinds of things live, and we shouldn't be. You should have to register with Facebook to stream live. And you should have to be someone that needs to stream live, a content provider of some kind. They don't have to regulate what kind of content, but you should at least have to register like you do with the FCC. You can't just set up a nice big radio station and broadcast to a possible audience of billions of people without a license. And that's what Facebook now lets you do live. They let you go live to a possible audience of millions or billions without any kind of accreditation or license or anything. And we are streaming murders. And we are streaming. It should go down. At least that part of Facebook should go down, should change. You should have to register in some way to go live. Not everybody should be able to go live on Facebook. You don't have a right to go live on Facebook. It's not in the Constitution, okay? So that right can be taken away and should be. And should be. Just like Fox News should be shut down and advertisers should flee. Not because Bill O'Reilly is a sexual predator, but because the network sucks. And it's all right, and he's coming on. You gotta listen right now in his little free app. You gotta listen right now in his little free app. All you got to do is go to any app store of your choice and download the Carell Cast, and you've got all of me, honey. It is the Carell Cast. I am Carell. So very glad you are joining us. Kevin in the chat room's all, preach, Carell. It's like, you're damn right. This show is not for snowflakes today. Coming to you live from the Park Howard Studios in Long Beach, California, seen by the world right here each and every day. Tell your friends about it. Share it on social media. Friends, tell friends to listen and to watch Carell. Be sure you watch my 420 special tomorrow on Free Speech TV. Tomorrow, 420, there'll be a one-hour cannabis corner on Free Speech TV. We've gathered all of our cannabis corners in one spot for you. So tomorrow on Free Speech TV, look for Carell's Life in Segments Cannabis Corner Takeover. One-hour special. All of our cannabis corners put in one spot. That's also going to be available on Reverie tomorrow on the GLBT platform Reverie, R-E-V-R-Y. You can download that app. So all of that tomorrow. And then while I'm doing some... while I'm doing some good little work here in the community, my community, let me tell you, the show don't exist without you. So please, your donations of $4.99 a month or more, they go a long way. And your one-time donations to the TV show of $50 or more, we are in some dire straits financially right now. I ain't going to lie. I'm trying to mount season 4, and I need about $20,000 to do it. And that's just how much it costs to do 13 episodes of TV. Actually, in real life, it cost about $3 to $5 million. RuPaul's Drag Race, which you would think doesn't cost that much, they pay everybody union on that. There's two co-hosts plus her, plus Ru, and then they have to the crew and everything. That's $1 million or more per episode show. So for 13 episodes, they're looking at a production budget of over $13 million for RuPaul's Drag Race. I'm telling you, real TV is expensive. And so, you know, I'm trying to do Life in Segments for $5,000 an episode to pay Brandon for filming, for editing, a sound person. There's a light person, Steve, a sound person, Kurt, Brandon with four cameras, and then Brandon edits. So that's another job. So that's four jobs there, and then me. So that's five salaries. So that's not much money for $5,000 an episode. We don't have $65,000 to put into it. So I'm desperately trying to raise money. So you all go to reallycorrell.com. If you can, you give a one-time donation at GoFundMe or a donation every month at Patreon. Part of the money we have to raise will save the studio. Wells Fargo will not work with me. They want $8,300 by March 17th. So we'll see how that works out. We will see how that works out. All right, in the chat room at reallycorrell.com, they did mention the Brainwashing of My Dad documentary. You can search the Corrells podcast, and you can find where I interviewed the filmmaker of the Brainwashing of My Dad. It was a great interview. So I want someone to talk today about the suicide that came across, which is Hernandez, I believe his name. He's a former New England Patriot who killed someone and got life without parole in prison when he was 23, and now he's 27 and dead. And the world is really mourning all of that, okay? And when they're mourning, they're saying it's a shame that he hung. No, it's a shame that we would give a 23-year-old life without parole. In a lot of countries, they don't do that. They would never put someone at 23 in jail for life without parole. They just wouldn't. And if you have a death penalty, I mean, isn't that what we gave him? Why would you let a prisoner have life? Here's what I understand. Why do we have life without parole prisoners? You know why? It's because we are too afraid to kill them. That's the real answer. We're too afraid to kill them. Because life without parole is killing them. And him committing suicide, come on, you would too. You're 23 years old. You've been given life without parole. You're going to be in jails the rest of your life, you would kill yourself. You were a multimillionaire kid, you know, star athlete, the best of everything, and now you got nothing. You'd kill yourself. And we killed him by giving him life without parole. We just didn't have the guts to actually do it, because that's what life without parole is. That is taking someone's life. We have taken their life from them. They now will live and eat and drink and do everything as we tell them to do. They have no life. So we killed him the moment we gave him life without parole. But we just wouldn't do it. So he finished the job. So there's been 27 suicides in Massachusetts since 2010. I'm not surprised there aren't more in prison. We kill them by putting them in there and telling them they're going to rot in this system now, in this corrupt, horrible system. We abandon them. Now, he was a murderer. And should he have been in jail? Absolutely. Life without parole? I don't know. The father of the person that was slain said that that didn't do anybody any good. The people of Massachusetts paying for his food, water, and insurance and everything for his whole life, I don't see what that does anybody any good. And if you think he really should be removed from society forever, then kill him. Because that's what life without parole is, a death sentence. You've killed him. So when someone with that kills themselves, I don't find that shocking at all. I find it more shocking that more that have life without parole don't kill themselves. I don't know why you would stick around a prison. I of course, I'm not a prisoner, but that's just me. We will continue when I get Ember off my desk. If you're listening to this show, you know I live a mixed-up, crazy life of everything from superstars to downright poverty. That's why I created Life in Segments. It's my world and your world reflected on TV. Go to lifeinsegments.com to watch now. It is the Carellcast. I am Carell. So in all honesty, I woke up kind of in a funk this morning. I don't know if you guys did. I was talking to my friend Thea, who you heard singing there. She woke up in a funk this morning, and she's like, I don't know why. My life is blessed. Steve Cabral and I were talking this morning, and he was like, look, I don't expect anything good from the government in my lifetime. So he wasn't really depressed, but at the same time, he's not encouraged. And there's a report out that Americans are more depressed than ever. that, you know, we are on antidepressants off the record numbers, and a lot of suicides and all this other stuff. And, you know, if you're like me, you don't want to be depressed or negative. You don't. And you want to take stock of all the stuff. Weird. My mohawk is laying on my head, and because of my roots, it looks like I'm bald. It's kind of fun. I don't want to be negative every day. And I'd like to make some changes. I would. I really, truly would. But like you, I feel sort of trapped into several situations. And that's what's leading to the frustration that is America. I think Americans feel trapped. I know that you guys probably do. You feel trapped in the situation that you're in, meaning you feel lucky to be in it. It doesn't mean that you're unhappy in it. It just means that any major change that you might need or want to make is not something that you're either looking forward to or even planning. You know what I'm saying? It's like everyone says, Carell, your house is rising in value. And it is. And I'm very blessed about that. And even though it needs a lot of work, it's still rising in value. And right now, it's about $200,000 to $230,000 over what I owe. So I have almost $250,000 in equity, which they say is almost like in the bank. Now, to use it, I would have to sell the house. Now, that means move, first of all, away from family and friends. I could not find a place in Southern California anywhere, or Northern California anywhere, for the price I would have to spend, meaning $200,000, so I'd have to go out of state or to smaller towns. I don't know that I want to do that because I'm here in the thick of things, at least in this house. The homeless problem is overwhelming to me, to Thea, to everyone you talk to in the L.A. or San Francisco area. It's just out of control. We are all sick of seeing crazy people. We are all sick of spending a lot of money to be in a certain area and just have it be degraded by these people. And we don't want to be evil, and not care about them. But at the same time, we're tired of them literally crapping on our doorsteps. Thea went out to her car in a parking lot, and there was human feces in front of it. I often open my back door of my garage and find human feces behind it. So this type of stuff is going on in our cities everywhere you turn. There is the blight of homelessness, and it's only growing. You know, it's not getting any better. So I will talk to Karen about all of this, and she'll say, well, then you've got to make a change. You can't keep complaining about all the things you hate and not make a change. And I said, but how do I change? You know, I'm sort of trapped. And a lot of you are. It's like this industry. I want to keep doing a show for you every day. I can't keep doing a show every day if I'm not paid for it. It can't be a hobby. So sooner or later, I'm going to have to scream uncle and say I'm not making enough every month and I've got to do something else. Now, I don't know when that will be. And I'm hoping, with all hopes, that we keep the donations coming and we get the Patreon over 2,000 a month. It's down to 1,000 right now, and I'm blessed with that. But I'm just saying, get it up to a point. You know, if I were conservative, if I were a Tea Partier, I'd be rich. You know, Fox News, we're talking about Bill O'Reilly. The $13 million in the settlement, I don't even see why they're concerned about that. Losing 30 advertisers for his show, why are they concerned about that? Their revenues are such outside of his show that they don't need it. And his show's number one, the viewers still watch. So the viewers still want to hear what he has to say. The network has no problem airing what he has to say. Why should they let these 30 advertisers make him be fired? They don't disagree with Bill O'Reilly. They are not firing him because of something he said on air that was egregious and over the line. And so many of you could find so many things that he has said. He said about me that I should be prosecuted for death threats against Joe the Plumber. Oh, the man is an embarrassment and a joke, but they're not firing him for that. So that's what I'm saying. Conservatives have a ton of money. They're not firing Bill O'Reilly, you know, on anything but some snowflakeness. Oh, look, we capitulated to those 30 companies who capitulated to people who said we don't want to support a molester. Really? Because you support Fox News and they support Trump and he's a molester. So are all advertisers on Trump going to pull all of their ad or on Fox? Same thing, interchangeable. Are all advertisers on Fox going to pull their ads because Fox supports Trump And he is a molester just as much as Bill O'Reilly. Probably not. So what's the uproar about? Why is he losing his job again? See, I go back to this because it's everything that's wrong with America. You know, he's losing his job and people are like, it's some sort of victory. It's not any sort of victory. It's Fox making a stupid decision. They should stand by him. They agree with what he says. They do not disapprove of Bill O'Reilly's content of his show. They are not firing him because he approves of Donald Trump, because he does not believe that Black Lives Matter. They're not firing him for being homophobic or sexist or racist or a complete and obtuse idiot. That's not why they're firing him. They're firing him because 30 advertisers said they're not going to advertise with him because of the $13 million so far he's had to pay out for sexual, not molestation, but sexual misconduct allegations. That's why they're firing him. And to me, that's ridiculous. And he's a wealthy, wealthy person. He's not going to suffer from being fired. Not like all the liberals who now YouTube has decided that through their new terms of what's appropriate for advertisers, that if you do a talk show that talks about controversial topics like politics, you're not appropriate for advertisers. So they've pulled all the liberals that are complaining about Trump, basically. They've stopped monetizing them. They're not allowing them to make money. And a lot of the gay content, they're pulling and not allowing it to be monetized. They're saying it's not advertiser friendly. Conservatives are having a ball. They're all over media. They're rich as can be. They have tons of money. David Pakman, he's struggling. You know, Randy Rhodes isn't struggling, but she's not wealthy. She's not, you know, a multimillionaire like Bill O'Reilly. Stephanie Miller, again, not struggling. She, you know, has her liberal comedy show out on DVD right now. You know, that sort of thing. She's paying her bills, but is she wealthy? No. Does she still have to hustle for advertisers? Yes. Do they flock to her show like they do O'Reilly or Fox News? No. Do liberals put their monies where their mouth? No. No. Can Stephanie Miller go get a $100,000 grant to revamp her studio from a liberal think tank? No. Do people like O'Reilly and all of the conservative talk hosts get funding? Did Glenn Beck get funded by all the conservative think tanks so he didn't need ratings? He had lots of money and didn't even need ratings. Yes. Yes, he did. Yes. They've all become filthy rich. All the conservative talkers have become filthy rich. Alex Jones, who is on GCN, has made GCN a lot of money. And most of you will agree that you think he's insane. But insane or not, he's making cash. And they're buying the stuff from InfoWars. And he can totally pay his bills. And he didn't have Wells Fargo coming down on him. So liberals have long since not supported their own. And then some of you do, and you have to pull the extra weight for the people who don't. And you're tired of that, by the way, which is why we're failing as a movement. People are like, the Democrats are failing. Yeah, because liberals won't stick together. They fracture on everything. They splinter. They get together for a good cause, and then they splinter. Because not like Occupy. This was an organization who finally started having meetings where they used jazz fingers to communicate. And they were supposed to make global change. They were supposed to effectively break up the military-industrial corporate complex, this Occupy was, when they have meetings where the members use jazz fingers. Really? Because the Tea Party was having meetings where the members used checkbooks. And guess what? They're now called the Freedom Caucus, and they're going to take your health care from you. So while the occupiers and all the other liberals and liberal talkers and all of us are out here doing our thing, they're writing checks and they're getting people elected. They're getting people on television. They're getting people on radio. They're buying radio stations. While we sit around and wonder, why is this happening? Why is this all happening? It's because we as liberals will not support other liberals. We won't give money. We won't. I don't know why. It's always been. Why does KGO struggle for advertising? And a little tiny liberal station can, or conservative station can pop up and play repeats of Rush Limbaugh and repeats of all the other conservative shows, and that station sells out. That a little tiny, itty-bitty, like KTLK Los Angeles. Why is there no progressive talk in LA? Well, because KTLK Los Angeles or Green 960 San Francisco found that they can make more money playing repeats of conservative talk than with non-conservative programming. They had KTLK LA. They had Stephanie Miller and Randy Rhodes and all that. And then Clear Channel said, well, we're not making any money with it. We'll make more money if we put Rush Limbaugh over there and all those shows, Sean Hannity and all of that. And then even though it's a little safe station, it'll make it, and it does. Why is that? Why can't one liberal talk station survive? Look at KGO. KGO has now told its talk show host, KGO San Francisco, and all Cumulus Radio has now told its talk show host that they must bring in one sales lead. They all have to bring in a sales lead a month. They all must give a name a month to the sales department. Their on-air host, who never ever in the day would have ever back in the day as an on-air host, I couldn't meet with an advertiser unless the advertising manager was with me or an ad salesperson. If they found that a host met with an, oh my God, no. And now they want the host to go out and make sales calls basically and bring in ad leads. Why? Does Rush Limbaugh have to do that? Does Glenn Beck have to do that? Do any of the conservative talkers, no matter how big or small, have to do that? No. No, they don't. Nope. But liberals, yep. You know, I'm on Patreon, and I did some research. All the podcasts on Patreon that talk from a conservative standpoint, they all have $2,000 or more a month pledged. All of them. Every one of them. And everyone that is not conservative, that is liberal, has less than 1,000 or right around 1,000. That speaks volumes right there. So as Fox fires O'Reilly, don't think they did it for any other reason than they were tired of him. They were tired of him. He was expensive. He was old. They can try for a new demographic. They'll pay him out. They won't have to. But do you think that if you think for a moment that behind the scenes at Fox, there's going to be any less sexual harassment, you're crazy. If you think for a moment that Fox News is going to be any more truthful, factual, or any less pro-Trump, you're crazy. And if you think this firing had anything to do with morality, you're out of your mind. You're just crazy. So I'd like to say we can beat them. Come on, go to my website, reallycarell.com. Give those donations. It's awful that liberals have to say that all the time. Mike Malloy, all the time we have to say stuff like that. And conservative hosts never have to. They just never have to. Because money is just thrown at them. That's really sad. Because we're better for America. Ted Koppel has never told me I'm bad for America. I've talked to Ted Koppel. He's never told me I was bad for America. He told Sean Hannity he was bad for America. I'm sure he thinks the same of Bill O'Reilly, who will have another gig. How many of you know that Bill O'Reilly will have another gig if he wants it? If Bill O'Reilly wants to go back to daily television, a network out there will give him a show, knowing that he's almost a rapist. The best TV show available is now available to binge watch. That's right. Life in Segments, season 1, 2, and 3 are all available on demand at lifeinsegments.com. Go there now. All money raised, by the way, supports the show. It is the Carellcast. I am Carell. You know, this morning I posted on Facebook. I said, look, this isn't real. And this platform now allows streaming murders. You know, we won't turn our back on it, but it's not real. Well, you know, Zuckerberg has announced that his next big thing is virtual reality, that Facebook is going to put all of its money into VR. They want you to be able to log on to Facebook with your headset on and take a virtual vacation. They've already talked about this. A virtual vacation. So not actually get out of your house, get some fresh air, get in the world. No, now you'll take over. And all the joking of us becoming Wall-E aside, I want to say something bigger here about this. Social media is destroying our reality. It is absolutely destroying our reality. It allows kids to be bullied so they kill themselves. I mean, this happens. There's been more than one case. So it allows kids to be bullied and they kill themselves. It allows killers to live stream murders. It allows despots sitting behind keyboards, cowards, to go out and say horrific things about people. It allows the phenomenon of fake news, the ultimate virtual reality, right? Fake news. And now we're going to let the creators of social media, which is possibly the worst thing to happen to the human animal ever. I think that when they write the epitaph of the human animal, they will say that social media was a downfall of many cultures. And we're now going to let them create virtual reality. Well, why? Is this reality so effed up that we need a virtual one? And the answer there is yes. Yes. The only place you'll be able to see wild animals like elephants and tigers, lions, virtual reality. The only place you'll be able to walk around and not get shot, or if you do, not have it kill you, virtual reality. The only place you'll be able to be truly safe, truly entertained, truly fulfilled, virtual reality. Why? Because this one is bad. They want to sell virtual reality to you. So to sell it to you, they have to convince you that it's better than reality. And now they're going to do everything they can to show you how bad reality is. And they are, quite frankly. And I just saw a CSI where a person decided to make a neighborhood go bad so then they could buy up the neighborhood cheap. Well, don't you think that Zuckerberg and all of them are conspiring to make our reality unbearable so we'll choose theirs? Yes. And it's working. It is working. And you have to acknowledge it so you can then say, I'm not buying into this. I'm not going into it. I will not do virtual reality. Screw that. If I want to be immersed in something, there are national parks. If I want to be surrounded by wonder, go sit at the beach. You know, if you want to be awe-inspired on a roller coaster, go ride one. Virtual reality will be great for paraplegics. For certain applications, absolutely, will be a game changer in PTSD treatment. Yes, absolutely. In some trainings and schools, yes, virtual reality will be great. But for the average consumer, you don't need it. The last thing you need is a world to escape to behind a pair of glasses. Haven't opiates proven that we're not good with opiates? And virtual reality is another opiate for the masses, I'm telling you. And we're letting Zuckerberg create it and Apple create it. They are going to be the creators of our virtual worlds, corporations, not theologians, not great thinkers. Nope. Facebook and Apple want to be, and Microsoft want to be the creators of our virtual world, which they will sell to us as better than our real world. Because look at our real world. And how many will just escape to that and forget to live in this one? Forget they have to do something here. Don't do it. Don't buy into it. Don't do it. Say what you will about reality, but it's all we've got. Don't act like... See, that's the thing with online. It makes you think that you are more than you are, that you have more friends than you have, that your life is better than it is because it looks so great online. Social media allows you to feel that you're something more than you are, and you're not. It's not, and you're not. You want to talk to a friend? Call them. You want to see reality? Step out into it. But the notion that we're going to let Zuckerberg and Microsoft and Apple create virtual reality for us is frightening. That is frightening to me. That is so frightening, the notion that we'll let them do it. And that we want them to. The notion that we want a virtual reality. Yeah, this one sucks. How about we make it better? How about we find out why everybody is medicating with opiates and with food and with all of it? How about we find out the source of that unhappiness? Oh, but we know what it is already. It is unhappiness. That's the source. And what's the number one source of unhappiness in the world right now? Money. Isn't that something? Something we made that means nothing. Makes us all unhappy. Wow. I am Carell. Be who you want to be, so don't hurt anybody. Don't forget to go to the website, reallycarell.com, to support the show. See you tomorrow. Bye.
You're listening to The Carell Show.
Congratulations! Nation, San Francisco. It is the Carellcast. I am Carell, heard every day from the studios at Park Howard in beautiful Long Beach, California, coming to you live right around noon, Monday through Friday. Video, audio, all of it right here for you. And it's all for free because so many of you help and support me through Patreon at my website. In fact, yesterday we got a $500 donation to pay for the remix of Stronger Together. It just floored me because I had to pay the remixer, and it was going to come out of, you know, God knows where. I didn't really know where I was going to get the money. And then magically, Joanne Omar, who is now the executive producer of Stronger Together, Joanne Omar donated the money for the remix. And Joanne Omar, I can't thank you enough. More importantly, Shahaf Moran, the remixer in Israel, thanks you quite a bit. If you can help with the TV show or the radio show, it's all at my website, reallycarell.com. Patreon is just $4.99 a month. You get a lot of perks. You get to watch all my TV shows for free. You get my music for free, all that, for $4.99 a month at Patreon. You can also give $5 a month, $10 a month. You can give $100 a month if you can afford it. And then GoFundMe is a one-time donation. And I thank you guys for continually supporting the show. All right. So 50, 30, 20, speaking of money. Have you heard of it, 50, 30, 20? That is the formula of how you're supposed to live. 50% of your income, fixed expenses. That means 30% for rent or mortgage, 20% for bills and food. Okay? Then 30% of your income is supposed to be discretionary spending. And that's, you know, things that, well, discretionary spending. It's not the hard fixed cost of life. There's still things you need to pay, though. And then 20%, believe it or not, of your income is supposed to be for savings. So in order to be comfortable anywhere in the country or the world, science tells us, economists tell us, that you have to do the 50, 30, 20. Well, guess what? If you want to do that in the Bay Area, which, and by the way, they consider that entry to middle class. The 50, 30, 20 is the entry to middle class. If you can do that formula, then you are the bottom level of middle class. So what does it take to do that? What does it take to have enough money to go to the movies? Not often, but, you know, to go out to dinner a couple times, to be comfortable, not wealthy, just, and not dirt poor, just comfortable, meaning not scrapping every moment for money. Now, you don't have a ton. You can't take huge vacations. You can't buy, you know, $100,000 cars. But you can spend 50% of your income on mortgage and food and insurances and all that, 30% on discretionary and 20% savings. Well, in San Francisco, California, which is number one in the country, by the way, $110,000. Okay? $110,000. That's how much it takes just to live in San Francisco and do the 50, 30, 20. 110. In other words, to simply be average, not wealthy, but and just a step above poor, okay, takes $110,000 in San Francisco. In Oakland, it takes $80,000, okay, or about $7,500 a month. In Long Beach, California, where I live, it takes $69,000 a year. The average income in Long Beach is $57,000. That means we're all living $12,000 deficit every year just to be comfortable. Now, I see a lot of you in the chat room, and I know a lot of you are in the Bay Area. If you wouldn't mind, at reallycarell.com or facebook.com/reallycarell, just type in a ballpark of what you make. Just type in a ballpark. 50K, 70K, 20K, 100K. Just type in a ballpark because I want to see how many of you are doing the 50, 30, 20. I mean, how many? I'm not, certainly. If Long Beach is $69,000, I'm not making $70,000 this year. That's just not going to happen. I'll be lucky if I make $50,000. So it's not happening for me. Let's see. Denise, before she was laid off, made $58K. Well, if you're in the Bay Area, that's $52,000 less than you needed to be comfortable. It's $28,000 less than you needed to be in Oakland, and it's $58,000 or it's $11,000 less than Long Beach. Let's do household income. Let's do household income because that, you know. Well, no, this is personal, actually. This is personal income. And that's what people are doing in the Bay Area. They're putting five people in the house. And that way all the salaries add up to enough. So anybody else brave enough in the chat room to tell us what you're making or what you made or whatever to see if you're on the 50? Because San Francisco's number one in the country. Number one. It takes less to do the 50-30-20 in New York City. Can you believe that? It takes less. It's only $90,000 for New York City to do the 50-30-20. Wow. So $110K, forced retirement now, $47 a month pension. That's only $50. Yeah, so you're not doing it. See how America isn't doing it? They did the math. The 50-30-20 formula, which is how you, that's middle class. That's a middle class formula. Less than 15% of Americans are able to do it for the area they live in. Less than 15% of Americans can do the 50-30-20. This is an unsustainable model of a nation. And I want to go back to the first segment, the and. We now know that a majority of Americans cannot afford America. We now know that a majority of Americans cannot afford their own cities. We now know that a majority of Americans are one paycheck, not two, away from actual poverty. And? You see what I'm saying? And? You know it. I know it. You know it about yourself. You know it about your neighbor. You know it about your community. And? You say, what am I supposed to do, Carell? Well, here we have options. You see, people act like they're entrenched where they're at. No, you'd have to move. You'd have to leave either your city, your state, or your country. Well, then I won't have a job at all, and then I won't. Well, I mean, we're going down. If 85% of our country can't afford to be middle class, 85%. I mean, what are we fighting for these days anyway? Do we even know? I don't even know. I really don't even know what we're fighting for these days. Sometimes I just look and I think we're fighting to live in a country where we're impoverished. We're the best looking impoverished people there are. We really are. We are the best looking poor people the world has seen because we get our cheap clothes at Kohl's, Walmart, whatever. We get our cheap plasmas at Costco and we act like it's enough to get by. Well, I may not be able to eat, but it's okay because I can sit and stream cable. And I'm eating ramen noodles, but it's okay because I'm in front of a 70-inch TV. Oh, and I can't afford gas, which we're talking about the gas tax next. But it's okay because whatever. You know, I don't have any health care, but look, I have a cute Acura. I can't afford health care, but I got a Honda Fit. I mean, that's America right now. Sure, I can't afford health care, but I can go to dinner at a craft brewery and have some craft beer. That's America. That's who we are. We are the best fed, best looking poor people in the world. And it's so bizarre and so strange. And the proof is right there in the 50-30-20. You know, 50-30-20. So when you look at that and you say, why are we such a great nation? If you judge a nation by the happiness, prosperity, and health of its people, we are a failure. And I'm tired of saying that and everybody just accepting it. We're all accepting that we're failures. We are a failure of a nation. We are failing. We are a failure. We're not failing. We are a failure. We have a huge deficit, meaning we're broke. We are not energy self-sufficient. We're below number 20 in all educational areas. We're below number 8 in terms of health care for our people. We failed. We're a failing state. And they talk about us that way. Other countries. And it goes back to the first segment. What do we do? We are a failing nation. And do we just sit here and watch us flounder? What really do we do? We are a nation on the decline. And what do? We elected a guy who's going to continue the decline. We, as we just heard from our Secretary of State, we're at a low point in most of our diplomatic relations. So what do we do? People in the chat room, they can't afford to move. We're going to have CalPERSON's retirement. That's their pension plan. Other people, 65K in Reno, that's probably a good, that's okay in Reno. That's, but they miss Alameda. That's Scott Bailey, who moved to Reno because it's affordable. Carter Bing in the chat room at reallycrell.com has never been in the middle class. Neither has Cherokee, has never been in the middle class. No pension for some people. Another chatter said that people are being hired with no pensions. Someone else is having a forced retirement. So, yeah, people are going to places like Reno to retire because at least there they can try to be a little bit middle class. We find it acceptable that Americans are not ever going to experience nice things. See, I don't find that acceptable. I don't know about you, but I don't want any of my friends or relatives to not experience nice things. I want all of you to have nice things. I want all of you to be able to go to dinner every day or every lunch, at least one meal a day. I want you to have enough money to eat out because no one should have to cook three meals a day. Okay? One meal a day, I want you to be able to eat out. Once a week, I'd like you to be able to spend $50 or $75 on a social activity, the movies, a club, whatever. Just once a week, $50, $75 on going out. I'd like you to be able to afford pot if you like pot. I'd like you to not have to choose between gas and food or a light bill being paid this week or a car payment. I would like you to not have to make those types of choices because that's not life. We live in a world that's not really life. It is not life to wake up every day and worry about money and bills and war. That's not life. So now Americans aren't even living. We're really not. We wake up every day worried about war, health care, all kinds of crisis. That's not life. We work up every we look at every day we wake up and we're worried about something that's humongous. And that's not life. And so we've stopped living in our country. We really have. We Americans have stopped living, all but the 1%. The 99% have stopped living, and now we are in the business of existing. That, I mean, it just couldn't be any plainer. We are no longer in the business of living, having fun, enjoying our family and friends, having money to buy a jet ski and go to a lake, whatever. We are not in the business of living. We are now in the business of survival, of getting by. And maybe that's why we don't think the threat of war is so horrible. Maybe we think, well, it couldn't get any worse, you know? And it will, and it can, you know? As someone said in the chat room, restaurants are only for birthdays and special occasions. Who won't tell us that he's hurting for money? They're too proud. Who, your brother? Someone in the chat room? Yeah, that happens. Your son's birthday is next week. I asked him what he wanted. He said additional money for groceries. Exactly. Exactly. Nowadays, that's all I give. I give $50 gift cards for birthday because people want cash more than anything else. And even $50, that's groceries. That's a fill up of whatever. Yeah, America's sad right now. It is. Independent media means just that. And if you want to keep independent media like me on air, then you've got to support it. That's why at my website, reallycorrell.com, there's a way to click on the Patreon logo and support me with a monthly donation. Please do so. reallycorrell.com. It is the Corellcast. I am Corell, heard internationally each and every day from the studios at Park Howard, sent out on the satellite from Genesis Communications, GCN, and of course brought to you by so many streaming ways, Spreaker, iTunes, iHeartRadio, TunedIn, Progressive Voices Network, just all kinds of ways, KGOE, oh yes, Radio Monterey, shout out to Solazar. And to Hal and to all of my friends at Radio Monterey, love y'all bunches. And, of course, video now, each and every day, live from my studios. All right. Well, let's end on a good note. Yesterday was National Pet Awareness Day, and it's National Pet Awareness Week. And I, of course, as you know, with Ember the LBC pup sleeping right here on my desk right now, we just gave Sadie some CBD oil, Vet CBD. We have Sadie, she's 12, my roommate's dog, and she was having some pain this morning and her leg was trembling. We gave her CBD. 30 minutes later, she's fine. The pain is gone. So it's National Pet Week, and I wanted to bring up a story because America has got to change its attitude about pets. No apartment complex or house, particularly now with this housing crisis, should be able to bar you because of an animal. They should be able to charge you a fee, but they shouldn't be able to bar you. Because we have concrete evidence now that pets are medicine. And I mean that. And there was a great article that just came out, and this is peer-reviewed, meaning it was published in a journal, about animals as medicine and how most hospitals are now going to allow animals in many more places than they ever, you know, would. And this study just came out. It's 2017. 35 different research facilities pulled together. And in the research, they found that if you're in a hospital and you have a pet and they let you bring your pet to the hospital, you go home and you heal 50% faster. In other words, you go home twice as fast as you normally would. If seniors are given even crickets in an aquarium to take care of, their cognitive ability improves, their mood improves. If you own a dog or a cat, but particularly a dog, your physical, your mental health is better, your cardiovascular health is better. So there's concrete evidence now. And one of the doctors said, you know, you used to be hard-pressed to find an animal in a hospital. He said in the next 10 years, you will be hard-pressed to find a hospital that doesn't have an animal in it on many, many, many floors. And he said, we used to worry about infection, but now we know the benefits of this just outweigh any risk that there could possibly be. And so now they are looking at animals in medicine as a holistic form of therapy for humans. And they're going to stop acting like you and me that have known this forever, you and I, are crazy. Because we are right, you're right, and I'm right. What we have been telling everybody, a dog, a cat, a hamster, a bird, a fish, any kind of animal that you then take on the responsibility for is going to make you healthier, period. It's just that simple. Any kind of animal that you take on the responsibility for is going to make you healthier. And so we need to start changing policies in our country about animals. We need to stop preventing people from staying at hotels with them. We need to stop landlords from not renting to people with them. I feel it's just as bad as not renting with people as a kid. It's the same thing. We need to stop hospitals and clinics from barring them. And we need to acknowledge that they have a place in our wellness, because they do. They have a place in our wellness. And so on National Pet Week, look, maybe you can't afford a dog or a cat. You can afford a Molly. You can afford a Beta, a fish. They're $2. Even those have therapeutic benefits. So no matter where you're living, I bet you can get a pet of some kind, even a single little fish in a bowl. And it's proven to help you. You know, if you do believe in God, then why don't you believe that animals are here for a reason? And if you're like me and you're an atheist, then you know that animals are here for a reason. And that reason is to coexist with us, and we're here to help them, and they're here to help us. So let them do it. I am Carell. Be who you want to be, so long it doesn't hurt anybody. I can't believe it's already Wednesday. Listen. Tomorrow and Friday, I have stuff during the day, okay? So I won't be able to be live on video. Tomorrow and Friday. Friday, I'm in La Jolla visiting a heart electrophysiologist, and tomorrow I have another appointment. So tomorrow and Friday, there'll be shows. There just won't be video. So be back with me on the video on Monday, okay? Much love to you all. There will be shows tomorrow and Friday, just not video, okay? Bye.
You're listening to The Corral Show. Corral.